talking about Noah and the wickedness of the earth. Uh-oh. Oh, my goodness. That piano almost got her. Thank you, Brother Aaron. Genesis chapter 6. Let's pray and we'll get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for a wonderful song service. Thank you for these kids who have dismissed, Lord, going to junior church. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll let them be good and, Lord, just be with the ones over teaching. Lord, thank you for, Lord, the people who have came out to church today. Now, Lord, I just ask you in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off the preaching and teaching of your word this morning. Bind him off the hearts and minds of your people. Open the hearts and minds of your people, Lord. Let us see a vision for the lost as we continue in this message, Lord. And, Lord, the importance of, Lord, we see the wickedness going on around us, but, Lord, let us see the importance of giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we certainly will thank you for it. Now, Lord, once again, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit this morning. Bless your people in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. We'll kind of recap a little bit where we were last week. The Bible says, and God saw the wickedness of man, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We talked a little bit about, imagine living in a world where you're constantly having to look over your shoulder, and you know, occasionally things are going bad, but here where we live today, it don't take long before somebody comes along and gives an edifying or an uplifting word. Amen? We can usually be encouraged somewhere if we're looking for some encouragement. If we're always looking for negativity, let me give you a secret. You'll find the negativity. Here come the teenagers piling in the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're always looking for negativity, listen, you will find the negativity. Learn to be positive. Amen. We need some positive people in this world. I was talking with someone yesterday at the Dollar General, and I can't remember who they were. I think it was one of the workers there. And she told me, she said, you know, I am just trying to be optimistic. She was smiling. She had good. Every time you go in there, she's smiling. Never, oh, I can't wait till work's over. Never angry at people because the line's long. I got up there and I was in line for probably 5 or 10 minutes. I said, how's your day going? She said, listen, I'm just trying to be positive. I'm thankful I got a job. I'm thankful we're here. I'm thankful it's not slow and boring. I'm thankful I'm busy. And I looked at her and I said, you know, if every employee of every place that we went had your attitude, there'd be a lot more pleasant places to go. You ever been somewhere where you just know that they do not have any interest in helping you? They're sad, they're gloomy, they're mad, and then you get mad and gloomy and sad, and you know what? Have anybody ever been there? Like a fast food restaurant. Walmart. I love it. I mean, it don't take long. Just go down to Jack's at nighttime if you want to get angry. Okay, that's a good place to go. I'm talking about the restaurant Jack's, okay? Go down to the restaurant Jackson Andalusia if you want to get upset real quick. There's a certain individual that works in there, and I'm telling you, he knows it all, but knows nothing. I mean, you say, can I order this? And now, how many agree with me here? If they can't serve a certain item, they should probably take it off the menu. Amen. You're looking there, and by the time you finally make your mind up, especially with a family of my size, it takes forever to get them to make up their mind. I don't even try drive-thrus anymore with my family. That's impossible. It's no good. But by the time, and then they say, okay, I want this. And the guy's like, we don't have that. Like, all right, what do you want to drink? Sweet tea. We don't have sweet tea. Can I get some ketchup? We're out of that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And you get irritated and you just ordered your stuff. And if you're like me, you plan your order around, you know, the sauces that you want, and you're looking forward to that. When you go to a certain place, most of you know exactly what you're going to get from that place. And you're like, can I get some salt? Look, we went out to eat a month ago or so with Uncle Brandon and Aunt Anna. We went to Taco Bell and I tried to get some napkins. Folks, they said the truck hadn't made it there. No napkins at Taco Bell. Not a good place to go without napkins. Not good. But needless to say, I had an opportunity to get very angry. I did not get angry because it was a napkin. But you see how easy it is to find negativity? What we need as God's people is positive people. We need people that are optimistic about looking for something good to find in people. People that'll smile no matter the circumstance. Remember, God doesn't change based on our circumstance. Why should we change based on our circumstance? But we do. Things are going good, we smile. Things are going bad, we don't. We frown, we quit on God, we get out of church, we quit doing this, quit doing that. And then when things are going good again, you show back up with a smile on your face like nothing's changed. You know, God called us to be instant, in season, out of season, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's who we are, amen? That's who we're called to be. But imagine living in Genesis chapter number 6. I was telling Brother Dave this morning, I'm going to show you here in a little bit. I'm the kind of person, when I study the Bible, I like to look up meanings of words, even if I think I know what they mean. Because Webster's a lot smarter than I am. Amen? There's a reason it ain't called Barlow's Dictionary. Because them words would say a whole lot different things. But I'm thankful for a man who had some wisdom and gave us a dictionary so I can look up words to figure out what they mean. And by the way, when you start doing that in your Bible, you'll understand your Bible a whole lot more. Look up what the words mean. We learned last week that in the end times, and by the way, I think we're getting close. Prophecy says we're not there yet. Everybody understand that? We're not there yet. We're getting close, but we're not there yet. But it says it's going to be as it were in the days of Noah. Well, I'm going to show you here this morning, when we start reading down through this chapter, look up some of these words and their meanings. Folks, it's getting pretty close to how it was in the days of Noah. Real close. Preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked me, because God showed me some things here. Skip down to let's just read down verse number 6. The Bible says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." God was angry at the creation that he had created. Remember, just a few chapters ago, God had called it very good. Everything that he created was not just good, but he looked upon it and he called it very good. Now, just a few chapters later, he's repenting that he had even created mankind. That is how wicked and vile the place had become. Verse number 6, or verse number 7. "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and of the creeping thing, and of the fowls of the air, and it repenteth me that I have made them." He was so mad he was ready to kill the birds and the beast. Imagine how wicked that must have been. How angry do you think God is at a country who allows more babies to die than be born? Hello? It shouldn't be that quiet when I tell you something like that. How angry do you think God is at a country who openly murders unborn children? Praise the Lord. Amen. God is not for that. But how much more angry do you think God is at His people who sit back and allow it to happen? Amen? Remember, 2 Chronicles is still there. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Hey, you want God's forgiveness? You want God's healing? Turn from your wicked ways. Learn to pray. Learn to forgive. Learn to turn away from everything that you think is right and turn back to God's way. Because He's the only way it's going to get better. By the way, fact check, God said it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming and there's nothing we can do about it. He's coming back. But one thing we can do is be obedient in the time that we have. You know, look at Esther. She said, "For such a time as this." Hey, God knew exactly the time we were going to be living in, and He has equipped each and every one of us for such a time as this. He did not accidentally put Drew Barlow in an area where he could not survive with the Holy Ghost of God. He on purpose put Drew Barlow in an area and said, "Hey, son, submit to me, and I'll help you. I'll help you get to the next day. I'll help you get through that next valley that's going to be dark and lonely and gruesome and wicked and evil. I'll help you get through that valley and I'll help you start climbing that next mountain and I'll be on that mountaintop with you and it'll be good. And when you go down that next hill, hey, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. God will be with you in the valley." God will be with you on the mountain. God will be with you all the way through your trial, all the way through your heartache, all the way through your lonely times, all the way through your tears, every single area of your life. If you'll just submit, God's there. God's there. God's there. Problem is, we're submitting to the wrong God. We're submitting to the God of this world instead of the God of heaven. The God of this world is Satan. God of heaven is God the Creator, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the Mighty Counselor, the Lion of Judah. Hey, the King of the Jews. God. One God. Amen? That's who we should be submitting to. But I like this. As wicked as it was, here's how good our God is. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You think that in as wicked as a day as we live in, that God could show you some grace? He showed Noah some grace right after he said, I'm ready to kill everyone. Noah found grace. Hey, I sure would want to find some grace in this time right now, wouldn't you? And I think we have. But I think we're going to need a lot more than what we have already. Folks, it's going to get worse. Don't throw the towel in. It ain't over yet. You say, when's it over, preacher? Well, when God decides your appointed time of death is up, or Jesus Christ comes back to get you, that's when you can you leave your towel behind then. Because then we go on with the Lord. Amen? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's where I am. And I can't wait for that day. But it ain't here yet. We still have a job to do. Noah found grace, so can you. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. See in verse 10, after Noah had found grace, after he was very clearly living in an area where wickedness was upon the face of the earth, it was vile. Now, how many of you worry about your kids and grandkids growing up in this day and age? Raise your hands. You should. And you know what you should do about that? Pray. Because it ain't getting no better. It's going to get worse. But here, Noah, you can look back and chapter 5 and see that Noah in chapter 5 and verse 32, Noah was 500 years old and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Old boy didn't wait too long, did he? Only 500 years. And not only that, now look, I'm 34 and I'm done. Praise the Lord. I was done when I was 30. 500 years old. Nobody in here is ever going to be that old. Not this side of heaven. I highly doubt it. But how do you think he looked at 500 years old? How do you think his wife felt when he, I don't know if he crawled, took a wheelchair, what he did? I have no idea. I don't know how he was at 500 years old. I wish I knew how they lived that long. They had something we didn't. I can tell you that much. But how do you think he felt when he said, hey, honey, what do you think about having some children? I bet he had a black eye. Bible don't record that, but I mean, I can just imagine. I know I would. 500 years old, but think about it in reality now. Noah's an old man. Everybody agree with that? He's old. Some of y'all think you're old. Y'all just children. He's 500 and starting a family. Not just one boy. Not two. But three. And not only is he old, but the world around him is a disaster. Wickedness is everywhere. I looked up the meanings of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Anybody ever looked those up? Anybody know what they mean? Well, I get interested in that kind of stuff. The name Shem means fame or renown. The name Ham means hot or warm. Remember how many like your ham hot and warm? Praise the Lord. Noah knew what he was doing there, didn't he? Noah Webster. Japheth, it means opened, enlarged, handsome, or beautiful. Now, in a world of deceit, vile, corruption, Noah brings in a handsome, beautiful young man, a hot, warm young man, and a man known for his fame. He was very renowned. Now, if you remember the generations of Noah, how many remember Enoch? Enoch walked with God. Amen? He did not see death. You remember that? He walked with God, and he was a just man. And you know, I like to think about this in Noah's terms of, hey, I don't know if he ever met Enoch, but I know this, he knew who he was. He knew who his great-granddaddy was and that he walked with God and how he saw grace. And then Noah, in a wicked day, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. See, what happens is when you set a standard for your family will follow you. See, Enoch set a standard for Noah. And I don't know what happened in between the two generations. I've never really studied that, but I can tell you this. Great-grandson Noah got it. And he found grace in the eyes of the Lord in a world where God was ready to destroy everything. You know what? I can picture it this. I remember the stories that Grandma used to tell me about Grandpa Enoch and how he walked with God and how he knew not death and how God showed him grace. And it was all because he walked with God and he was a just man and he trusted the Lord. He lived by faith, not by sight. And I could picture Noah bringing back those memories in his mind thinking, you know what? If it worked for him, it'll work for me. Folks, we need some more of that. We got to stop living from yesterday's anointing. We need a fresh anointing. There's a song that goes like this, Lord, we need a fresh anointing. We cannot borrow from yesterday. Fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. Teach us of Jesus, His will, His way. Hey, listen, David even got to a point in his life. This is a man after God's own heart. You remember in the book of Psalms, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Hey, God never said you weren't going to get down, you weren't going to get miserable, but he said, hey, you can get back up. We got to stop quitting on God because he's not giving up on us. Yeah, that man's getting it if nobody else is. Praise the Lord. Might be a preacher one day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Three boys from a 500-year-old dad living in a world of destruction. Verse 11. This is what I want to show you this morning. Verse 11, we see the earth was filled with violence. Now, when I think of violence, I think of, you know, destruction and tearing up things. But I looked up the word violence, and it means this. Behavior involving physical force intended to hurt, damage, or kill someone or something. Verse 11 says this, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Imagine everywhere you walk, everywhere you go, every store you go to, and hey, it's going to get like this. You're going to have a hard time. You may not in our lifetime, but I promise you, eventually it's going to get to where it's going to be scary to walk out of your house and go to the store. You're not going to be able to go buy gas at will. You're not going to be able to go to Walmart and get the things you need to make cupcakes and chili and have a good time. We're not, definitely ain't going to be able to come in here and do this. Y'all with me? We may never see it in our lifetime, but it's going to get ugly. The Bible says in the New Testament that the coming of the Lord is going to be as it were in the days of Noah. Well, here's how it was. Imagine walking outside right now, and there's behavior involving physical force intended to hurt, damage, or kill someone or something everywhere you go. You try to go home, people's trying to kill people. Try to go to the store, people's trying to hurt you. People's trying to kill you. You get on the road, there's road rage everywhere. You go in the store, people's hurting, fighting, bickering. That's what it's going to be like. Because we're in a war. God versus who? Satan. To me, this does not sound like a place where I would want to be raising my children. Noah did. Now, he's 500 years old. I don't know about y'all, but like I said, I'm 34, and I done threw my towel in on that. I mean, I know God's capable to do whatever he wants, and that's okay. But Noah's 500. Looking around him, people's killing everybody, hurting everybody, destroying things. He said, I think I want to have some children. That'd be the last thing I'd think about. Folks, I worry for my children every single day. Just having them go to school. It worries me enough. I mean, I know you guys can remember when your kids got their driver's license. It's scary. It's scary, ain't it? Especially when they call you and say, Dad, I just got pulled over. Ain't been 3 weeks. Like, son, what'd you do? Well, I was going down the hill a little too fast. We won't say how fast. Fast enough. You know what I'm thankful for? An officer who had some grace. And he better be, or he would have lost his license. Because mom and dad would have took him away. Right? Because I'm not paying a ticket for it. Hey, I had to go to court when I got a speeding ticket. Had to do 20 hours of community service. Wash police cars and fire trucks. For 4 Saturdays in a row. You remember that. They didn't pay my ticket. And I told him on the phone, I said, son, you better just start praying that that man don't give you a ticket because you're going to pay for it or go to court and figure it out. I don't know what to tell you. You know, he wouldn't learn any other way. I could pay it for him. But what's he going to learn? Dad will get me out of it. Right? Not to mention the increase of insurance. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Hopefully he learned. Lord have mercy. Yep. Hopefully he learned a lesson. But I'm getting back to this. I worry about my kids. Just getting in a car and driving. Because anything could happen. But see, we don't have to worry about our kids going out here and everywhere they go, there's violence. Now, there's some cities in America you do have to worry about that. Amen? Give it another week. Y'all know what's coming up in 9 more days? An election's coming up. You remember what happened in the last election? People burning cities down in America! Why? Because they're violent. Because they didn't get their way. Amen? Folks, pay attention. I don't know if that's the place I'd want to raise my kids, but somehow Noah remained perfect in his generations. How on earth could a man remain perfect in a world where God said, I am sorry that I even created these people? I'll tell you how. Because he stuck to God's plan. And it wasn't just one or two people trying to sway Noah. Folks, here in a second, Noah's getting a command from God. Start building an ark. Because in 40 years, I'm going to destroy this place. Now, 40 years is a long time, isn't it? That's a lot of grace. A lot of people could have been saved in 40 years. But you know how many I record got on board? 8. Noah, his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. 8 people in 40 years. Hey, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. Hey, 40 years later, Noah reaped what he sowed. He obeyed, and his family was safe at 540 years old. Y'all listening to this? Be not weary in well-doing. See, Noah didn't have to build that ark, did he? Did he? That must have been a lot of work. He didn't have no steel or Husqvarna. He didn't have no gas-powered sawmill. You know how hard that must have been? He didn't have Lowe's, Home Depot. You know what he had? 500-year-old hands. Y'all listening to me? He was an old dude when this happened. 500-year-old hands. Thank God he's got 3 boys now. See, he knew what he was talking about. He needed some help. Put them to work, amen? Let them work. Let them learn. That's what he had. Bible don't record anybody else helping him. Out there sawing trees down. Milling wood. Lord knows where he got nails from. I don't know what he did. Probably wasn't nails. I don't know what he did. I know this. God gave him an outline on how to build it. Told him exactly what to do. How big, how wide, how tall, how deep. And he obeyed. And in the end, guess what? He reaped. His family was safe. Be not weary in well-doing. You know, the Bible calls Noah a just man. The word just means to behave in a way that is morally right and fair. Living in a world where sin was prominent all around him, he chose to live life, or live a life unto the Lord. Verse 12, we see God looked upon the earth, and it was corrupt. The Bible says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was what, church? Corrupt. We think about corrupt, and you think, well, I know what that means. So I was like, well, I don't really know what that means. I think I know what it means in my mind, but I looked it up. It means this: having or showing a willingness to act dishonestly in return for money or personal gain. That's what the word corrupt means. The world was full of that. You know what our world's full of right now? Liars and dishonest people that are setting themselves up for personal gain. Right? You know, there's the Bible meant something when it said, for the love of money is the root of what? Evil? Or did it say all evil? All evil. So all evil results from what? A love of money. Anywhere you go, everything you do, everywhere you see problems, it all involves what? Money and a love for it. Famous people are getting locked up. I'm not going to use names because I don't think that's right. Locked up. Because why? Because they chose money, to accept money and put children into sex slavery. How on earth could you love money that much? None of us could fathom that thought. But somebody did, and there's hundreds more that should be locked up with them. And praise God, I hope pretty soon it happens. I hope they all go. They deserve it. They're choosing money over the lives and the purity of little children. Selling them off to other countries to be brutally raped and tortured. And hey, you think it's not important to vote? Y'all, come on. There's no place for that. God's people need to stand up. We don't need to be in an age where God sought for a man to stand in the gap and found none. Hey, we should be standing in line saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. I'll stand in the gap. I'll do it. I don't care what it costs. It doesn't matter. I'll do it. Folks, we need that. The Bible says it was corrupt. This is what God looked down and saw when he looked at his creation that once he called good. What a disappointment it must have been to the Creator. I look at us today and sometimes wonder, when God looks down on us, does he see the same thing? Or does he see his children striving to be more like his Son? You know, that is our job, to be transformed this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are called to be more like Christ. Christ-like. I've been reading this book, Are You Living in a Christian Home? And I'll share it with you when I'm done with it. And I got buried in it last night. And I started thinking to myself, according to the Bible, and we call ourselves a Christian home just because we're saved, there's a lot more to it than that. And it's convicting to think, oh God, why is my home not a Christian home 24/7? The simple answer is this: because I don't use this as my formula all the time. I want to be like I want to be. Folks, listen, living in a Christian home is so much more than just saying, I'm going to heaven. Amen? There's so much more. So much more. Does he see us every single day knowing, yes, we have faults, but we also have a Savior who is greater than all of our sin. And we acknowledge this and try to be more like him. Is that what Jesus sees? Listen, you think for a second that God's heart don't break for you when you hurt? You say, how do you know that, preacher? How do you feel when your kids are hurting? How do you feel when it's out of your control, mom and dad, and you can't help them, but you know they're hurting, their heart's hurting, and your heart hurts twice as much for them because you can do nothing about it? God hurts for you like that. God is in anguish over his sons and his daughters who are rebelling and suffering because of it. It hurts his heart to know that his only begotten Son, Jesus, has already paid for all that stuff. It's all paid for. And he's thinking to himself, just like we would say to our children, can't you just learn your lesson? How many's ever asked your kid that question? How many times is this going to take for you to realize what you're doing is wrong? How many times do you have to be punished? And ultimately, the wages of sin is what? Death. Too many times I've sat down, and I'll tell you, I loved in Alaska, I was on the fire department, and I loved it in some aspects, but I was the chaplain there, and it was always heartbreaking to be the one to go knock on the door in the middle of the night and dread mom and dad opening that door. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's terrible to, you sit there and you think, Lord, part of you is like, I really hope they're not home, because I don't want to be the one to break the bad news. But then you hear the footsteps coming through the house, and they have no idea that their world in about 10 seconds is about to turn upside down. They have no idea. They open the door. Hey, Brother Drew, how you doing? They're smiling, not knowing that the news they're about to receive is going to change their whole life. I say, I'm doing pretty good, but I'm sorry to break the news to you. Such and such happened, and your baby's gone. I'm sorry. Heartbreak. That's hard, ain't it? Not fun. You know what I'm thankful for? That we have a God that's with us in that time too. Thankful we have a God that can be with that mom and dad and comfort them in that time. Thankful that we have a Savior who sticketh closer than a brother. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. See, Jesus Christ cares about that mom and dad who's about to get that bad news. Jesus Christ cared about that son or that daughter who wouldn't hasten and listen to the instruction of mom and dad. And the wages of sin is what? Death. Listen, folks. You keep on living in sin, the wages of sin is death. Be sure your sin will find you out. Amen? Teenagers, listen to your parents. Listen to your parents. They're not against you, they're for you. They love you. Verse 13, we see the judgment of God. God's grace has officially ran out for these people. Can I say that one day God's grace will be no more? One day Jesus Christ is coming back for His bride. And how many is thankful you're part of that bride? Amen. Amen. Which is the local New Testament church, body of believers who have trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. Judgment is coming soon, and we know not the day. Matthew 24:36 says this, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. You know what Jesus is saying? Only my Father knows when I'm coming back. To me, that means that God hasn't even revealed that to Jesus. Only my who? Father. Now, I know Jesus is just as much God. But the Bible's pretty clear. Only my Father. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Matthew 25:13, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24:27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Miss Barb's going to come to the piano if you don't mind. I want to ask